broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Where's the guy? Let me get him up on the line here. Welcome back here, folks. 877-876-PHIL. And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What is your name?
My name is Ian, Phil.
Your name is Ian. Ian, welcome to our... Your name's Ian, right?
Yes, sir.
And welcome to our show.
Well, thank you very much. I was listening to the gentleman a moment ago. He's talking about watching NASCAR. And I don't know quite what to say about that. It's not anything I want to see, that's for sure.
NASCAR?
Yes, sir. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I live in America for now, but I'm watching this NASCAR racing. It's not... I don't think it's all that what it's cracked up to be, you know.
It's not what?
It's not always cracked up to be, you know.
What do you not like about NASCAR racing, sir? And I take it, by the way, that you're from England?
Yes, sir.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Wiltshire, which is south of London.
What's it called, Wiltshire?
Wiltshire.
Okay.
It's south of London. It's in Wiltshire on Tyne, on the Tyne River.
Okay. And what is it about NASCAR that you don't like?
Well, it's not that I don't like NASCAR. It's not what it's all cracked up to be. It's all. It's not like if the cars going around in circles, right? Just going around in circles, right? It's not like there's no excitement that way, right? It's not like you've got to know how to drive the car, like put the brakes on and all this, right? It's like all you do is go around in a circle, and you look a bit like you have to be like that. Don't want to do that all the time.
You have to be what? Daft?
Well, yeah, it's all right. Have all that speed. But the speed's not really part of the race if all you're doing is go around in a circle. And you get dizzy, watch a race like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
My experience, anyway.
Do you like auto racing?
I like auto racing. I like if it's like a road race, you know, what we call a road race.
Road racing is in Europe.
It's not like it's Europe. They've got road racing in America. They got road racing. I saw road racing in Canada, right? And
I know, but I mean, it is a favorite of European race fans because a road race has a lot of different turns and.
Right, it takes more what, skill, like that, you know, to drive on a road race. But it's as opposed to just going around like you're off your nutter, you know, you're going in circles. I'm driving my car in circles. It's not any challenge.
Well, but I suppose people that like NASCAR racing or any kind of racing that goes in circles, what about the Indy?
What about Indy? It's the same thing. It's going in circles, you know?
Well, it's a different kind of car, though.
It doesn't make any difference if it's a different kind of car. It's still going in circles, all going left all the time. They try to make an Indy car, which they try to make it look like it's a Formula One car. It's not a Formula One car at all. It's not got any of the features of a Formula One car. It's an Indy car, which in my estimation makes it a lot more inferior, right?
Okay.
It's not as difficult to drive as a Formula One car. It's a stupid car. I'm not trying to be offensive or anything. I think America's got a lot of wonderful things about it, but just it's motorsport. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Right? So it's when that chap Corey's talking about NASCAR and how they booed Mrs. Obama, they should have booed themselves for being at the race, is my opinion.
They should have booed themselves for being at the race, huh?
That's right. Should have booed themselves for being such a silly event as that. It's my opinion, is all. But I like a lot about America, though, you know.
What sporting, is there any sports you like in America?
I like American football a lot.
You like American football?
Well, I like American football a lot. I got a favorite team is the Miami Dolphins, is what I like.
You like the Dolphins, huh?
Right, you know, it's where I live. And
Do you live in Miami?
That's right.
Okay. I mean, I haven't followed the Dolphins this year. I don't think they're doing very well.
They're not doing good, that's for sure, but I still enjoy following the Dolphins. I like to follow the football, you know. It's a lot of fun to watch that. And sometimes I go and I watch ice hockey, you know. I was doing hockey in England, but it's not as good as what you've got here. And like that, but I'm just not going to go see no NASCAR because you've got to be out of your, you've got to be off your nut. You know, look at a race like that. It was going in circles like that.
Well, I mean, that's it's the American way. And they say that the reason why Americans like NASCAR racing and oval track racing in general is Americans are, we like a stadium-style events. We want to be able to sit in one place and see everything that's going on, you know.
Right. You don't want to follow the race. You don't want no sport. You want everything easy for you. And you want to be able.
Well, I mean, a lot of people just think, you know, that's the best way to follow. A sport is at its best when it's easy for the fan to follow, when all of the action takes place in an area that we can cover with our eyes.
That's right. It's not like challenging that way, you know. You never learn nothing. You never learn nothing about the sport. You never learn nothing about how difficult it is to do the sport. You just sit there and you look at the track, you look at the cars go around in circles. You know?
Well, what about soccer? That's pretty,
I hate soccer. I hate soccer ever since Beckham came to America. I despise soccer with all of my life. With everything that my life means, I despise it. And you know why I despise it? Because of Beckham. Beckham, he's the one that I despise more than anything.
Why?
Because he married Posh, didn't he? He married Posh, didn't he? And he took out probably the finest one of the Spice Girls off the market. And the rest of them, just real slap of ugly, you know. Not worth it, right? But except for Posh Spice, she was worth it. And Beckham, he married her. And then he goes to America, make all his money. And I hate everything about soccer because of Beckham.
All right. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get you on early enough to talk to Steve Bozell.
It doesn't matter. I've said what I want to say, and I'd say it again. And I'd have to talk to Steve Bozell to tell you that I think NASCAR is ridiculous going around in a circle like that. But I'll tell you, I hate soccer, so you know that I'm not. You know, it's not about me being English. Right?
No, I know that. You hate soccer and you hate NASCAR.
That's right.
All right, well, Ian, thank you for calling, and the very best of luck to you.
Best of luck with what? The best of luck with what? With just my life?
Yeah, just the best of luck with your life.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you very much. I didn't know what you meant by the best of luck, you know.
Well, the best of luck with everything that you have to do.
What have I got? You know what I've got to do? Is that what that means? Or?
No, just the best of luck with your life.
Just the best of luck with my life, but you don't really know what I've got to do.
No, I don't have any information on what you have to do.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with your idioms. And
no, I understand that. I just do have very good luck to you, and I hope you have a great life, you know.
Well, it's not like you know what my life is going to be, though, right?
No, I don't know what your life's going to be. I don't know what your life's going to be.
But you say best of luck with my life. You don't know really what my life... You don't know if I'm going to die tomorrow.
No, I don't know anything about it. I hope you don't die tomorrow. I hope you live a long life, you know.
Well, if you hope I live a long life, you don't want me to live a long life if I'm a murderer. If I'd be a murderer, you wouldn't want me to live a long life.
No, I don't want you to live a long life if you're a murderer. I hope you live a long life. I hope you have a happy life. I hope everything is fine.
Right. All right. Hold on. I need more soap, and I also want to give them... All right, I'm running some more.
That's fine. You have a nice bath. Have a nice bath, man. See you later.
Sorry.
Would you turn that guy off?
You're having a pretty good conversation until the very end.
Yeah, I don't know why I wasted all the time I did with that guy. NASCAR, great, bad, indifferent. But saying goodbye to that jackball. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL, and we'll be back with our news and information hour, like I promised, in just a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here in our news and information hour, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. What, Bud?
Better get to see that guy. You should have asked him about Australian football or something.
Australian football, huh? That guy was from England.
You know, he come from Australia.
I thought he said he came from Australia.
No, he didn't say ever that he came from Australia. He was from England. Okay.
Should I ask about Australian, though?
What about Australian?
Well, Australian rules football.
What about it?
You ever seen Australian football?
Yeah, I've seen Australian rules football.
Wait, it takes way more than to play American.
Oh, is that right? Well, maybe you're right. You know, Bud, maybe you're right.
It does. Have you ever seen Australian football?
I've seen Australian rules football, yes. Yes, I have. And I've heard that it really takes some cojones to play that.
Well, Doc, man, if you tell, look at that. They don't wear no helmet or nothing.
No kidding? How many times have I told you I've seen Australian rules football, and I've seen that they don't have to wear a helmet? Okay?
What are you getting all upset about just because it takes more cojones?
Well, does it really? How do you know it takes more cojones to play Australian rules football?
Because a lot of guys that play American football say it do.
I've never heard one guy that plays American football say that. I've heard a lot of people that watch Australian rules football and watch American football say that Australian rules football takes more cojones. But I've never heard an American football player say that. Ever.
Yeah, well, are you kidding me? You've seen it. You know it does.
No, I don't know it does. Listen, let me just, you know, first of all, if you take an Australian rules guy and you put him up against the size guys that we have in the NFL.
No, man, they're the same size.
No, they're not the same size. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not 6'6", 330 pounds. No, sir. They ain't 6'7".
You're just talking about offensive line.
Well, really? Well, let me tell you something about the offensive line. Those dudes knock you down, too. That's number one. 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", in some instances. Well over 300 pounds. Okay, and because the guys that play American football are wearing that padding, they're coming at a much higher rate of speed. Okay, do you understand? So they're flying. They're flying. And, you know...
You're not making the case very good.
No, you're not, man. If you made the case better, you know...
Well, what do you mean I'm not making the case very good? I just don't think that it's true. I just don't think it's true. I just don't believe... That I think that if you look at American football and you see all the padding that our guys wear, okay, I believe it's because the size of the players on average is bigger. And I also believe that the speeds at which these guys are hitting are much greater. I think you have defenders coming at you at a higher rate of speed, and they're coming at you with, I think, far more abandon than the Australian guys. I'm not saying those guys don't have guts. None of this has got anything to do with guts. I'm not saying they haven't got guts. I'm not saying they aren't tough. Obviously, you got to be tough to play that. But when you guys say it takes more cojones, I mean, I don't buy it.
You know what you ought to do is tell American football, go down and play Australian rules.
You know, there's a lot of American footballers that go down and play Australian rules football. They don't play it professionally because it's not in their contract. But a lot of, I mean, they wouldn't be allowed to do that. But a lot of American footballers, when they've retired or what have you, have gone and played the game just, you know, I don't know, either in an exhibition. I don't think they've played professionally because they're obviously not of the caliber of player that they need down there. But that has nothing to do with how tough they are. It has to do with how well you've mastered the sport, how well you play it. You know,
what's all you got to do is run around a circle because that circle field, too, that's got to be tougher.
Why does a circle field, you know, you say stuff, Bud, none of it makes any sense.
Well, you're trying to find fault with it.
Well, tell me why a circle field makes it tougher.
So you don't want to know if you're out of bounds or anything.
I won't know if I'm out of bounds, huh? Is a circle field is it drawn out?
What do you mean drawn out?
How do I know I'm in the circle? There must be some chalked out markings.
Yeah.
And if I go outside of the circle, I guess I'm out of bounds.
No. It's way tougher.
Is it really?
Yeah, you got to figure out circles.
You guys are really weird, man. You're all impressed with the fact that, they play on a circle. That must mean, I don't know. Wow. You know?
Yeah, the other thing is they kick the ball while they're running and everything.
Oh, get out of here, will you, bud? Why don't you learn something, man?
Well, what are you talking about?
What am I talking about? What's so tough about kicking a ball while you're running with it? Those guys, that's the other thing. They play with a way bigger ball. You know, that thing, it looks like, I don't know what the hell that thing is. It's like kicking a freaking volleyball or something. Who knows what that thing, what kind of leather's that? I mean, they're throwing that thing, they're kicking that thing, they're all kinds of stuff, man. You take an American football, the size of an American football, and try to kick that thing accurately through some goalposts while on the run. You know?
But it can't be that hard.
Maybe it ain't. Maybe it's not that hard to do at all. You know? But you've yet to make the argument for me that Australian rules football is tougher.
Yeah, what if I got an NFL player and he said so?
Okay, fine. If you got an NFL player who will say to me on this show that it's a tougher game, then I'll buy it. I'm not saying it's not a good game. I watch it. I watch it when they got it on ESPN. You know, what is that? What do they do? What's it called, Robert?
They call it the final. They had the final on. They have it on a final Saturday in September.
Yeah.
Final Saturday in September, they have the Australian. Is it the Australian Football League?
Yeah, it's the AFL, as they call it. And they got a lot of teams and everything, and then they have the championship final.
Cool. I mean, it all sounds really cool. And it's the national sport of the good people of Australia, and God bless them. And I ain't saying it doesn't take you-know-whats. But this stuff about you guys, you know something, you get talked into all kinds of, ooh, man, they don't wear pads or anything. Maybe they don't wear pads because they don't need them. Have you thought about that?
You gotta be kidding me, man. I've seen the way they run into some of those guys. It's pretty fast.
Yeah, it looks fast. It looks brutal. And those cats are in some pretty decent shape. They're in obviously far better than just decent shape. I mean, they're ripped and they're muscular and they're good, you know, they're good specimens. But those same guys running up against a dude that's about 6'8" and, 380 pounds and trying to get around that guy. What if they had to get through blockers that were that size to tackle the guy that they want to tackle? Okay? What if they had to get through blockers? Like, what if they had to survive the rush of guys that are 6'6" and almost 300 pounds coming at you like a bat out of hell? And you got to run away from them. You know, you think those guys would get up from that? I mean, all I'm trying to tell you is there are certain differences here. I will submit to you that if an Australian rules guy got tackled by, let's just say, I'm going to give you right now, let's take two defensive ends, because this has happened many times in professional football. Two typical NFL defensive ends, good ones. And they rush and tackle both at the same time, one Australian rules guy. I don't think you'll get up.
Get out of here. They get way. Are you crazy?
No, I'm not crazy. I don't think that guy would get up.
Well, are you saying he'd be unconscious?
No, I'm saying he would have a dislocated shoulder. I'm saying he'd have a busted collar. He'd have a clavicle that's shattered. There'd be something wrong with him. I'm not saying he'd be unconscious. But I guarantee you that guy gets tackled by two big NFL defensive ends, and he doesn't get up because he's got either a broken, his shoulder's dislocated, collarbone's busted, something.
I don't know.
Well, that's the first smart thing you've said all night. I don't know. You're like everybody I talk to, bud. Oh, wow, Australian rules football, man. All right. So now that's another 15 minutes I wasted. I want to get to this Republican thing.
Why don't you talk about it? I'm not keeping you from doing it.
Because you started yapping about Australian rules football. Well, while we have these moments together, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to visit the website, philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. With your backstage pass, you have access to our live video casts each and every night, the podcast that comes the next day right into your iPod. You have access to thousands of hours of archived material, thousands of character clips. You have access to our comment stream, as well as our blogs, as well as our Ted and Bobby blogs. And, of course, you can see all of the archived video of TV shows and TV projects and pilots and radio and TV interviews that we've done and so on and so forth. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. Make sure you stop by our souvenir shop and get your Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirt, man. There it is. And these are available right now. These are our hoodies, you know. And they're going like hotcakes, man. We sell a lot of those, aren't we?
Yeah, a lot of people are buying them, especially on account of the Christmas.
So they're going pretty fast. So pick yours up. And if you are watching on Phil TV and HD, there it is. And if you're not, you can just well imagine. Not imagine. Go over to the shop and take a look at it at philhenryshow.com. We also have these classic podcasts that are in the left-hand column. And one of them is the all-time all-you-can-eat blankety-blank, plus Plane Go Boom and Lloyd Gets Teabagged by the Neighbor's Cat. You don't want to miss that one. We got a few of our video rants are up there for you. And like I said, we have Bobby and Ted's blog and in our news feed. So philhendryshow.com, that is the online home of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, we have the Republican candidates facing this foreign policy challenge. Well, I'll find out what the hell that's about. And some other kind of weird-ass news, including a woman. You know what? I'll just say it, and then we'll talk. Some North Carolina woman has shot five kids in the head, killing two. Why is this? Because her love triangle went wrong. The kids have to die. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And if you join us Saturday nights on Phil TV and HT, in HD, what's HT? That's
high tissue.
Yeah.
High tissue.
Shut up. Shut up.
That's so funny. I guess that means we wipe with it, huh?
Yeah. Shut up. Sound gay.
When I keep bugging me, man, it's what's going to happen, you know.
Grow up.
Oh, I got to grow up. I like that one. You talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
You shouldn't talk about black people and stuff.
Black people? Are you out of your mind? I said calling the kettle black ain't got nothing to do with black people. What a moron. Now what?
Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall. Yes, David.
What are you bugging him for?
Bugging him? He's been bugging me all night long with his comments. Blah, 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 blah.
What is this racism he's talking about?
Ain't no racism. Ask Robert.
Well, he did call something black.
Who are you calling black?
I said, ain't that the pot calling the kettle black?
I don't know, I turned it on and I heard you making fun of black people.
Oh, get out of here.
What are you baiting him for?
This jackball is sitting here making fun of me, butting in this, that, okay?
Yeah, but he was telling you all about Australian rules football.
Oh, he was telling me all about it. Was that what he was doing? He was telling me all about it? I was telling him all about it. He brought the subject up.
I thought you were going to talk about how the Republicans are blowing it.
I ain't going to talk about the Will you hang up on this guy?
You're not supposed to hang up on him.
Oh, really? Well, I just did, bud. So why don't you go in the back, write your little report. I bet that's what you do, man.
You'd probably go back and write a report and everything.
I'm going to tell on you.
Go ahead and tell on me. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. This is the kind of infantile stuff that we have to deal with. All right, now. Republican candidate, although I must admit I was very infantile there myself. Republican candidates face foreign policy challenge. What happened to my reading specs? All right, Republican candidates face foreign policy challenge. Republican presidential contenders have made slamming President Obama's economic policies a key theme of the 2012 election. But criticizing his national security record is going to be a tougher sell, according to foreign policy experts. One of the things that, and I do try to keep an open mind on this, but it was a bad moment, I think, for GOP leaders when the president announced the killing of Osama bin Laden. And at that particular time, I have to tell you, folks, when I first heard that Osama bin Laden had been killed, I wasn't thinking of the politics of the president. I wasn't thinking of the political party that he belonged to. I was thinking of the U.S. military. I was thinking of the national security people. In other words, my mind went to the security apparatus of the country and how well it had performed, and the president is naturally at the top of that. But I didn't think, wow, a bunch of Democrats killed, you know, Osama bin Laden. You know, I mean, just that's insane. So I didn't go there. And I really, honestly, I didn't go there. And I suddenly realized, oh, God, politics is involved in this. When the next day, as the country was, you remember, it was we were so happy that we were beginning to wag our fingers at each other and going, you shouldn't be so happy. You know, you remember how stupid that was? You know, don't be glad and dance. It doesn't speak well of us. Who are you? whoever you were, who are you to speak to what speaks well of us or not? Just who in the hell were these people who came out from underneath their quilts, who came out from under their comforters long enough to wag a finger and say, ooh, you don't know enough about the human race to make a comment like that. You don't know enough about this country to make a comment like that. Nonetheless, so that's how I was feeling. I was feeling very good, and I was exulting, as everybody was. And then I realized that politics indeed was involved, because I think it was either the next day or the day after, when the congressional people were weighing in on what a great job our guys had done. Fantastic job. And the president was getting the credit that he deserved for that operation. There's no question about it. And anybody that says he doesn't obviously is showing themselves to be what they are, completely skewed, you know, ideologically. But then I saw the Republican leaders line up. And the Republicans lined up to congratulate the president and to congratulate our armed forces. And you'd swear to God that they, each guy that had been at the microphone, then another guy would come up behind him. You'd swear that the guy in front of the guy that was coming up had just cut the worst smelling fart on earth. Because the way these guys looked when they got up to the mic, they were just, today is really a great day. I mean, they looked like they were in pain, and it was the hardest thing they'd ever done. And it was just the most depressing thing to have to stand there and say, congratulations, the president. Whatever happened to giving credit where credit is due. Grow up. Admit that sometimes you're wrong about certain things. Even if you're a conservative, yes, you can be wrong about certain things. I know it comes as a shock. Now, one thing about progressives, they know they're wrong about stuff all the time. They're always backpedaling. Liberals and progressives, they're always having to backpedal. They're so used to it that they've got all kinds of great comebacks as they're getting their ass kicked. You know, as they're getting their ass beat, they're almost like Jake LaMotta in The Raging Bull. Remember when Robert De Niro, as Jake LaMotta, got just his brains beat in by Sugar Ray Robinson? And he walks up to Sugar Ray, and he's covered in blood, just covered from head to toe in blood. His nose is busted, his face is just destroyed, and he walks up to him and he says, you never got me down, Ray. You never dropped me down. You know, in other words, he got his ass handed to him. But he was proud of the fact that he never got he never got knocked to the canvas. To me, that in so many ways, when I listen to Democrats and I listen to Republicans, or excuse me, progressives, that's what I hear. They get their ass kicked, and they'll never admit it. But the problem with the conservatives is worse. The problem with conservatives is that they don't think it's possible that they can get their ass kicked. They don't believe that their ass has been kicked. They are so afraid and so, quite frankly, disconnected from reality that when they do get their ass kicked, they don't see it. It's a delusional thing. At least a Democrat can look and a progressive can look and say, I really got my ass handed to me. Well, time for me to think up another bunch of horse crap to make it sound like I won. That's what they do. That's what they know how to do. That's what they've been doing for years. And they do it very well. And the world laughs. Yeah, sure, okay, whatever. But Republicans and conservatives are a little bit more dangerous because, as delusional as they are, they don't recognize that they've just had their ass handed to them. They don't recognize that what they just said there's no relationship to reality. None. I mean, they go off, they waste 2 years on whether Obama's a commie. 2 years, 3 years they waste on whether he's a commie or not. How the country is not safe. Obama, if you want to be perfectly honest, folks, and I realize that this is, that's a tough question. Do you want to be honest? Is it one of the toughest questions to ask in talk radio? Because naturally, because this medium, this format, survives on horse dung. Talk radio is just a cavalcade of horse dung from sun up to sundown. We don't survive on truth. However, let me just try something different. Let me ask you an honest question. In fact, it was so honest, I forgot what it was.
What was it?
I don't know. No, wait. Here's what I want you to consider. These guys are in a world of delusion. Obama, if they were honest with themselves, has far from acted like the full-on commie socialist liberal they thought he would. This guy has gone to bat for the Patriot Act. This guy has gone to bat for security measures and military measures far, far, far beyond anything the progressives and the Democrats that got behind him ever thought he would. I mean, he's pissed off a lot of those people. He has decided, no, we're not going to prosecute the attorneys, and we're not going to prosecute President Bush for war crimes. That's a whole dance that we're not going to get. That's ridiculous. There's nothing there. No laws have been broken. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to waste the country's money. I'm not going to put us through that. Oh, my God. He has disappointed those. So, you know, if you were honest, you'd say this guy has not acted in any way, shape, or form the way these liberals thought he would, nor has he acted in any way, shape, or form like the conservatives thought he would. Sure, he went for his freaking, he said national health care, he was doing, gee, national health care. Wow, there's a really radical idea. It's only about, oh, I don't know, 140 years old. 140 years old. Not introduced by the Canadians, not introduced by the British, not introduced by the French, not introduced by the Russians, not introduced by the Spanish or the Mexicans, introduced by Bismarck, the Germans. They got statues to Bismarck in Germany. He was the father of their nation. A man who was quite progressive for his day and a guy that lost a battle of wills with the Kaiser, who went on to run that country, well, basically right into the sewer, you know. So the idea of national health care, folks, communist? Let me think. No. Not even close. So anyway, now we have the Republicans here, and they have to start showing what they know on foreign policy. And what do they know on foreign? What makes Republicans any more intelligent on foreign policy than Obama? I understand that President Bush was obviously, for better or for worse, President Bush was obviously steeped in the business of foreign affairs. He was a guy who was, you know, there were a couple of wars, the country had been attacked. I get it. I understand. Some people never will. I don't give a damn. President Bush did what he thought was right, and I thank him for it, and I thank the president for protecting the country, and I know I sound like a fascist, but I don't care.
You sound like a fascist.
I don't care. Obama's policies have been, quote, pretty resolute and solid, said Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute who specializes in national security and defense policy. O'Hanlon particularly noted Obama's use of lethal force in the deaths of Osama bin Laden and Anwar al-Awlaki, an American-born member of the al-Qaeda terrorist organization in Yemen. These were a departure from the rhetoric espoused by candidate Obama. Not really. Not really. No, they weren't. People never listened to Obama. It's the problem with Obama. Nobody listened to what he was actually saying. Everybody else already had him figured out, including the dumbasses that voted for him. An Obama economic approval rating has continued to slip. The public's view of his national security policies remains positive. In a recent Gallup poll, 63% of those surveyed said they approved of Obama's handling of terrorism, and 52% approved of his handling of the war in Iraq. I think he is remarkably strong. And the more this election is about security issues, the more advantageous it is to the president, said former Navy Secretary Richard Danziger. That hasn't stopped GOP contenders from criticizing Obama during the November the 12th debate for not being aggressive. The Republicans better get off this foreign policy kick, because they're going to sound so stupid, you won't even believe it. Iran, what are you going to do, Perry? What do you think you're going to do, huh? Afghanistan, there ain't a one of those guys, Perry, Gingrich, Romney, none of those guys have got anything better to say about that than what we're doing currently. Oh, yeah, sure, there's a lot of really brave things we can do. We have to take into consideration what the kind of a world we're living in right now and just exactly what you can get away with and what you can't get away with, you know.
What do you mean you can get away with, man? I mean, Iran, what they got like a nuclear weapon?
If they get nuclear weapons, I guess we're going to have to drop an A-bomb on them.
Get out of here.
I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, you can't drop an A-bomb and people think we're war criminals.
Well, these cats are not supposed to have nuclear weapons. They're not supposed to have nuclear weapons. That's part of the non-proliferation treaty. That's part of the non-proliferation pact that the country signed.
Well, you talk about non-proliferation pact?
You saying that word on purpose, aren't you?
No, it's non-proliferation.
Non-proliferation. I'm going to belt you. You're not supposed to have nuclear weapons. You don't get to have nuclear weapons.
Why don't they get to have nuclear? Everybody else does.
Oh, why don't they get to have it? Well, first of all, because they signed a non-proliferation treaty that said only use it for peaceful means.
Why come America gets to?
Why come America gets to? Well,
I mean, how come?
How? Because America, along with the Chinese, the Soviets, I believe the British and the French, those five countries are the big five. We get to have nuclear weapons. And the reason why we get to have nuclear weapons is because we are considered to be the perfect nations to have them in terms of the balance of power in the world. And the countries that signed on to this non-proliferation acknowledge that America, the Soviet Union, the Chinese, the English, and the French get to have nuclear weapons, and nobody else does. Now, that's just the fact.
What about India?
India did not sign the treaty. Nor did Pakistan, as far as I know. But if you signed it, your ass is up for grabs. That's why we can't tell India. Now, you try to tell this stuff to a bunch of simple-minded bastards that don't know anything about, you know, international agreements and treaties and things like that. People want us to hold to one treaty, but they don't want us to hold to another treaty. People want us to hold to a UN resolution, but they don't want us to hold to this treaty. You know, they're going to say to us, well, that's not fair. Maybe it's not fair, but that's the deal, man. Take it or leave it. That's the deal.
Yeah, but how are you going to get Iran, man? I mean, you'd have to invade and everything.
There's a lot of stuff you could do. Either you got a treaty that has force or it doesn't. Either you have a treaty that says, we get to have nuclear weapons, you don't.
What about Israel?
Israel, as far as anybody knows, doesn't have nuclear. Now, I understand maybe they do. But Israel, I don't think they signed the non-proliferation treaty either. So, but Israel doesn't let anybody know anything about what they got other than what they got. Now, Iran can scream all they want about what Israel's got, but Israel, as far as anybody knows, they don't have anything. Oh, yes, sure, they do. But the fact is, the Iranians are under the microscope right now. They're a bunch of liars, and they probably got them. And I say that if they don't turn over all fissible materials, or whatever the hell the word is, that we go in at dawn with handheld nuclear Panzerfausts, and blow the entire Iranian Muslim fang to bits. What do you think?
I'm pulled for it.
All right. Hey. I don't know, man. What do you think? How do I know? I don't know. Invade. Or we can do this. We can wait around for the Iranians to get the nuclear weapons, and then one day they get a wild hair up their ass and they use them. Let me ask you a question. You know, Hitler was working on having nuclear weapons.
You got a break.
Oh, I got a break? Oh, sorry. Okay. Let's just pretend that Hitler just blew me up with a nuclear weapon, shall we? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL when we are usually on the air and we are usually, you know, doing whatever we're doing. Uh-oh. Incoming!
Hey.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll go to Dean in Northern California. Dean, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil. Phil, I wanted to congratulate you and all of you in Southern California, and I think I speak for everybody across the country. There's a lot of jubilation, I imagine, in your neck of the woods right now with the Galaxy winning the Major League Soccer title. And we're just coming back, as a matter of fact, from one of my son's banquets that they had for a junior soccer in the Bay Area. But everyone's been talking about it. Congratulations on the Galaxy!
I didn't even know that they. That's great.
Yeah, they did. You didn't. They won the Major League Soccer championship, and David Beckham, of course, proved his worth. I can imagine that, you know, there's been an awful lot of excitement there. Or there hasn't. Is that what you're saying?
I haven't heard of any, no.
Well, I think the people of Southern California I think they should get behind. They just won the championship. Are they not aware of that? Did you see anything in the news?
Well, I was aware of it. I think I heard about it.
think you heard about it.
No, hold on. I think I heard about it.
Well, the fact that you have to remember where you heard about it. He didn't hear about it. He just said he didn't hear about it. Oh, boy, that kind of ruins the rest of my phone call because I wanted to invite you, Phil, and your crew to a gala that we're having here in a week for the junior soccer of the Bay Area, but we're going to have some film footage of the game and refreshments.
Of the soccer?
Yeah, uh-huh, of the soccer.
I mean, I'm sorry, sir, of the soccer championship?
Yeah, the soccer championship. I guess that's what you want to call it. The Major League Soccer Championship. So you're not aware of the Galaxy winning it, and let me just take a wild guess, you don't care.
I have to say, no, I don't. I have to be honest.
Of all the talk shows I could have called tonight, and I call yours, of all of the talk shows I could have called tonight, and I willingly walked into a fisting on the...
Watch your language. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you guys again tonight. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. The only way to truly enjoy the Phil Hendry Show is with a backstage pass. That's the only true way. Well, frankly, that's the only true way to prove you love this country. I'm Phil Hendry. A pleasant good evening.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, you really put some...